Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today is May 11th, 2018. We begin our technology article. And in the studio, I have two panelists here to help discuss this topic. Welcome, Zach and Pauline. How are you all doing today?
Doing great. It's always good to be here in the studio with you.
All right. Thanks, Pauline and Zach. Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Ready to talk about some data breaches.
Yes, and that's a scary title. First of all, Pauline, what is a breach?
Well, when we're talking about, breaches, I usually think of it as a break in security.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that, you know, there was a security in place and somehow it got broken through. So now information that was supposed to be private got taken by someone else.
It's like there's an opening there and somebody got in and stole some information in this case. When we're talking about a data breach, you can use it in other ways as well. Of course, as you see our definition there, maybe a law is broken or a promise or agreement is broken as well. And so it can be used in different ways. But here we are talking about technology. And is this a big deal, Zach?
It certainly is, right? When you think about everything that's going on to the internet these days, or all of the vital information that could be stored, we have to keep it safe. We have to keep it protected.
And we can be better prepared. Maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal, wouldn't it be such big news if we were better prepared for the inevitable. That's a good word to know, Pauline.
Oh, yeah, inevitable. I mean, that means it's going to happen no matter what you do. This is going to happen. It's inevitable.
That's right. Right, and we hear a lot about these data breaches. There have been big ones over the years. Several years ago, back in 2016, there was at least one with Yahoo, and they announced that data associated with at least 500 million accounts had been stolen. So
wow.
Many people were affected by that. And this one that we're talking about at the beginning of today's article, we're talking about Equifax, and nearly 145 million Americans were affected, and also I believe some people in the UK and Canada were affected. So lots of people can be affected through these data breaches.
That's right. And we'll talk throughout today about how it affects us, why we should care if people have our information, but it is a pretty serious thing.
Yeah, a lot of times I don't think about it. We use online sites, financial sites all the time, and I don't think that much about it because I've never, thank God, been affected by this. But I think once you are, it will make you think twice, right?
It certainly should. In fact, it's been recently reported that the fastest growing crime, at least in the United States, is actually identity theft.
Mm.
And I think that has to do a lot with the fact that so much sensitive information is going into our technology. So yeah, you have to protect yourself.
Right. Do you all do anything to try to protect yourself, or do you just hope for the best? Pauline, do you have any tips that you can give our listeners? We'll discuss this more, but maybe you have something.
Yeah, we'll definitely discuss it more. I don't have any great tips.
Okay, that's fine. Zach, do you do anything special?
Nothing too special. What comes to my mind would be, like, obviously change your passwords on a regular basis.
Mm.
Things, you know, that well within your control.
That's right. And sometimes it's easy to use the same password for many sites, which is something you're not supposed to do, or maybe you have some variations of that. I think the hard thing is keeping track of all those passwords, you know? It's just I forget them all the time. And, your computer will offer to save that information. I don't know if that's the best idea either, but it does help you keep track of it at least.
Have you tried any of the apps, the new applications that will offer to kind of store or regenerate new passwords?
No, I haven't. Have you?
I've tried one, and it was helpful. But I think trying to keep track of all of them, I felt a little bit unsafe with having one master password that would then store all of the passwords.
Okay, I gotcha.
So, but I wondered if anyone else had any experience using that.
Well, now some apps will allow you to use the Touch ID function.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And so, I think that's kind of nice. It's easier, and I hope it's safe because it's using your fingerprint. So that kind of helps with, you don't have to remember the password until something changes and you have to go back in. You're like, oh, what's the password? It's reset it. But anyway, it's hard to keep track of all the passwords, but we do need to do some things that, protect us from if we experience these data breaches, hopefully we'll be protected by taking certain precautions.
Yeah, and this article did really make me think about a lot of those things. I'm looking forward to talking about it some more. I think little things that I do think about is, you know, living overseas every once in a while, I have to ask my mom or somebody to get into some account for me. And so learning to, like, I'm not going to in a message, send you all the information for how to get into the account. I'll call or say all these kind of cryptic prompts, like, you remember the name of our dog?
Right.
Okay, it's that plus, you know, how many people are in our family? Okay, you know, like, we do some of these kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most likely people aren't that intensely going into your private messages. But, you know, to just start to have a little bit of awareness is like that. I do keep a list of all my different accounts and my passwords for them.
Yes.
And I keep a physical copy of that, but I don't write the whole password, right? I have like a number mark, you know, I make that hashtag sign that tells me number starts with a T.
Pauline's on it.
But I would be so confused by that. Like, what was that?
Well,
what did I mean by that?
Still, I only have, you know, a certain amount kind of like rotate through, but then I'll kind of do that, like, or prompts for myself. I try to do, like, the same with my, like, my login ID. Like, I'll give myself just enough of the beginning letters that I know what it is. But
that's
somebody who just,
smart.
Like, somehow got their hands on it hopefully wouldn't be able to put all those pieces together.
That's really good. All right. Well, we are going to get into our article readings. So if you have your magazine, open it up to page 22, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Data breaches. They wouldn't be a big deal if we prepared better for the inevitable. It's time to get over the Equifax data breach. While there's no excuse for the boneheaded security breakdown at Equifax that potentially exposed 145 million Americans' most sensitive information to hackers, there's nothing that even the savviest consumer could have done to prevent it. It's time to acknowledge we can't trust anyone to protect our data. Instead of whining about breaches, we must improve our own security to survive the aftermath.
All right, we are talking about a company called Equifax, and this is a credit reporting company, and so they have data on consumers, and they automatically get this information because all credit bureaus have this information. And so it says at the beginning of this article, it's time to get over the Equifax data breach.
Maybe we should really quickly just say what a consumer bureau is. This is a place that will collect, like you said, all this information about your credit card history, your debts, your loans, just a lot of information about you so that if you, for example, if you want to buy a house and the bank wants to know if they should give you, loan you money, they're going to check with this credit bureau to see, you know, what's your financial history? Can they trust you with money, basically? As a result, they do have like an incredible amount of very sensitive information about individuals, financial, you know, bank accounts and credit card numbers and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they do. They have things like your social security number, which is your ID number in the United States. And so if that is stolen, it could be really dangerous. People can use that to pretend they are you and fake your identity.
Right. So you can see this is really serious. So then the very beginning sentence is kind of surprising because, as we said, the Equifax breach was a really big deal. It was very scary. But the very first line in our article says it's time to get over it, which means get over it. If we say get over it, it means like stop complaining, stop worrying about this, you know, don't focus on this.
Yeah, because I guess it's already happened, so let's deal with it, basically.
Right. Let's move past the drama and let's start talking about how we can do better.
Right.
Right. Because it's not saying don't think about this ever again, right? This whole article is kind of based on thinking about what happened and now, you know, as individuals figuring out how we can best protect ourselves. And they'll do a really good job throughout this section kind of explaining what they mean. They say, you know, the next section, well, there's no excuse for the boneheaded security breakdown at Equifax. Mm. I like this part just to start off with. Boneheaded means like, it's like a, a different way of saying stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes.
Like it's, you know, they're saying
that was a real boneheaded decision.
It's not a compliment if somebody says something is boneheaded. So they're acknowledging that the company Equifax has some real blame to take in the reasons that there was a breach of their data. They should take responsibility for that. They made a big mistake. However, the last part of that says there's nothing that even the savviest consumer could have done to prevent it. So the company could have prevented it, but us as individuals could not have prevented that
from
happening.
And many people were exposed. We see potentially 145 million Americans, and actually some in the UK and Canada, could have been exposed here. And that word savvy, if you're savvy, that means you have practical knowledge and ability. So if you're a savvy consumer, you're paying attention to what's going on. Maybe you're checking your credit scores, you're checking your credit card statements and so forth.
Right. If you're a savvy consumer, you are double checking. You know where your money's going.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody asks me a question about a computer issue, I am not tech savvy.
Yes.
So I will say so. Like I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really bad at computers, but my husband's pretty tech savvy, so I'll ask him.
Yes.
That's another example of using this savvy.
Yes. Sometimes if I have a tech question or maybe a question about a definition that's technologically related, I will ask Josh, Pauline's husband, because he has a lot of knowledge about that. He is tech savvy. Well, it's time to acknowledge we can't trust anyone to protect our data. We need to take care of this ourselves and stop whining, right?
Right. What is the whining going to do? Is it going to fix anything? Is complaining going to get the security back to the consumers? Well, it's already out there. So I think they're talking about, and the article will go on to discuss the practical things that can be done in order to fix these kinds of issues.
Right. I was so surprised by this. I mean, I just really think like, well, there's a reason to complain, and it is a really big deal that, you know, Equifax, who has all of this information, did such a boneheaded thing and wasn't on top of their security. And so on one hand, my initial reaction to this is like, what are you talking about? Like, there's legitimate reason to complain, but ultimately, unless your complaints are really being put into something constructive, if you're going to work in the field and help people, help companies become better at security or advocate for consumers, that's great. But if it's just to complain at your own house, you know, that's not really doing anything. It's just pointing fingers and not really improving your chances of being secure, right? So I did appreciate that kind of slap in the face of that reminder that, you know, it's fine to acknowledge that somebody's done a stupid thing, that they've endangered people's information, but ultimately then the next question is, so what? What do we do to help ourselves and others?
And this happens, and people might complain about it for a while, but eventually you have to stop and do something about it. And then, you know, if you're wondering when this happened, by the way, it was back in around mid-May is when this breach occurred in 2017. The company knew about it on July 29th, and then they first announced this on September 7th of 2017. And so they're using this as an example, but there have been many data breaches, as I mentioned earlier, about Yahoo and so forth.
That's right. And again, this article is very applicable and keeping those things in mind. I like the way it says at the very end, we must improve our own security to survive the aftermath.
Mm.
The aftermath. So we are in the aftermath of those events. They've already occurred, and then it's like the results of those things are the aftermath. We're dealing with the results of the breach. And we'll learn as we continue to read that those repercussions are still, you know, they're still coming. Not all of that information has been used by the quote unquote bad guys yet. So there's still lots of information there that somebody could use and maybe could use against you. So it's important to think about the repercussions and the results that could come out of this and how to survive it.
Well, and so now that they're made aware that there has been a breach, they can go in, change, you know, numbers, try to, you know, change accounts, passwords, and kind of deal with those repercussions in the aftermath.
Well, we can also seek professional advice about this. So let's find out about that in our next reading for today.
Advice from a professional. Listen to someone who has spent 35 years fighting cybercrime and identity theft. Neil O'Farrell, Executive Director of the Identity Theft Council. We have to stop focusing on how do we stop getting things stolen and focus on stopping data from being used, he told me. There have been about 8,000 breaches, which include electronic hacks and disclosure of paper documents in the past 12 years, according to the Identity Theft Resource Center and the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse. More than 1 billion records have been exposed. We all must accept that some of our information likely is in the hands of identity thieves. That could be a credit card number, bank account number, PIN, birth date, user ID, account password, or any combination.
Okay, so we are seeking advice from a professional, and this man's name is Neil O'Farrell. And what do we learn about him, Zach?
Well, he's been at this for 35 years, fighting cybercrime, and specifically identity theft.
And he is the executive director of the Identity Theft Council. And it says, listen to someone who, as Zach said, has spent 35 years fighting something. What has he been fighting?
Well, he's been fighting crime, right? In this case, cybercrime, internet crime. And yeah, if you want to know what you should do, I think this sounds like the guy to go to. Somebody who's really spent a lot of time understanding what kind of crimes happen on the internet, how your information can be used against you, and what can be done to protect yourself. So it sounds like the right guy to ask.
All right, Zach, what does he say we should focus on?
Right. So we need to stop focusing on how do we stop getting things stolen and focus on stopping data from being used.
Okay, so it's kind of taking a step back and say, hey, let's not just wait until something is stolen or try to prevent that, but how do we just actually stop this data from being used?
Yeah, I think this is, again, like really for me, it really shifts my whole perspective. It's just kind of a slap in the face because I feel like all of the stuff I've read is about how to protect your information from being stolen. It's about changing your passwords and those things we were talking about at the beginning of the show. All these things that we do that we think will prevent somebody from getting our information. But he's saying, actually, the real thing we need to focus on is when they get our information, how do we stop them from using it? And then he'll go on to say why he thinks that's the right question.
And we also get an explanation of how many breaches there have been in the past 12 years.
Right. It's been reported 8,000.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's kind of scary. And what does that include, Pauline?
Electronic hacks. We should say hacks is when somebody breaks into a computer or internet digitally and gets information that they were not supposed to get access to. And so it's either through that or through disclosures of paper documents, somebody finding paper documents and using that information wrongly.
So it's not just digital files. It's also paper files. So everything is at risk, but I think online information is even more at risk because that's what we hear more about, right?
Right. With so much information going digitally, right, and it's being stored, companies changing a lot of their just how they do business over to e-copy. So it's all very vulnerable.
Right.
The next number that they say is the craziest one to me. I hear 8,000 breaches and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's a lot. But then they break it down to like the number of records that have been exposed. So I think of that probably the number of people. 1 billion. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Like that's a much scarier number.
Yeah.
It really like grabs your attention, right? And
it
then,
does.
And that makes the case for this next line he says, in the third paragraph here, says we all must accept that some of our information likely is in the hands of identity thieves. That was probably the most shocking of everything I read in this article. I've been thinking about it for a few days.
Yeah.
Just about like, I have assumed because my information, because like you said, Brandon, neither of us have had our identity stolen. We haven't had any issues with this. So I just assume my information is still currently secured.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, That's not necessarily the case. They may already have your information. They just haven't gotten around to using it yet.
Haven't gotten to you yet. They have so much information to go through. So we just have to wait our turn. Hopefully they'll never make it to us. Well, they give us a list here of things that could be out there, right? What is it?
Sure. So credit card numbers, bank account numbers, a PIN number. A PIN would refer to your passcode. Mm. If you are withdrawing money or whatever the case may be, usually it's a 4 or 6 digit number. Birth date. Often we use birthdays as security measures for mm-hmm. protecting our information. User IDs, account passwords, any combination of things. So any combination just means the different kinds of information that's required to protect your information.
So all of that's out there, and it could be at risk. But we can't sit around worrying about it or whining about it, but we should be concerned about it, and we should take steps to protect our information, which we will talk much more about tomorrow, about how we can protect that.
Yeah, I think we're in the wake-up call section. Mm. This is the call for alarm, the moment of saying, stop pointing fingers at the businesses, think about yourself, know that your information is in danger, you know, be alarmed about this so that then you have the motivation to take the steps to protect yourself. So we're still in that wake-up call section.
All right, well, let's hear more about this and what O'Farrell has to say in our last reading for today.
O'Farrell figures the only reason more of us don't have our identities exploited is because there aren't enough thieves to play with all the pilfered information. It can only be they're taking their time getting around to you, he told me. When your number finally comes up, you must be positioned so your stolen data can't be used, or so you know immediately when it is used. I'm not talking about the tired old advice of creating strong passwords and checking monthly account statements and annual credit card reports for unauthorized activity. That still applies. But you can do much more to catch fraud in real time and preferably prevent it.
While O'Farrell figures the only reason more of us don't have our identities exploited is because they just haven't gotten around to us. We already talked about that. That word exploited, though, is good. What does it mean, Zach?
Right. To exploit means to use someone or something kind of in an unfair advantage. You have this advantage over them. So to if I'm going to exploit someone, I'm using their information to my own advantage.
So there really aren't enough thieves to play with all the pilfered information. That's also a good word.
Yeah, pilfered is another word for stolen. Mm-hmm. You don't hear it as often, but it is a good word. And this is, again, it's just this wake-up call of, oh, wait, just because my information hasn't been exploited yet doesn't mean that it's not in the hands or available to, you know, people who would like to exploit that information,
yeah.
Who could. Maybe they just haven't gotten around to me. So that really changes, you know, when you think like, oh, yeah, that's so terrible. So many people have had their information taken. Thank goodness it hasn't happened to me. You know, it's easy just to think like, well, I've gotten off lucky this far. Like, you know,
yeah.
You kind of think like, I don't know that you exactly think like it could never happen to me, but you still kind of have a little bit of that. But
yeah.
It's different when you think like, oh, my information might already be in somebody's hands,
sitting there,
and that I haven't made it on the list yet. They're still going down the
right.
list to get to me. Like, that's a lot more imperative.
Yes, that is true. And it makes me think I need to pay attention to my information because it could be sitting somewhere and someone eventually may get to it, a thief. And so we do need to be careful, be cautious, not to worry necessarily because, hey, if the information's out there, it's there, but we can take preventative measures and we can also just pay attention to what's going on. So it says it can only be they're taking their time getting around to you. This is what O'Farrell told the reporter. What about when your number finally comes up, Zach?
Right. So when your number comes up means it's now you.
Your turn, right?
It's your turn, yeah. Your numbers come up. But you want to position yourself. You want to be in a place where you can protect yourself.
All right, so you know immediately when your data is being used. You need to be paying attention.
I really like this turn of phrase they use when your number finally comes up, because I think if I didn't have any other context, I would assume they were talking about when it's your time to die. I think that's when they most often say my numbers come up. That's the context I hear. But here, we're literally talking about numbers, right? We're talking about, like, your identity numbers, all the social security numbers, your credit card numbers. So I feel like they're kind of turning this phrase to say, oh, when it's your turn and they have all your numbers in front of them, what are they going
to
do?
And here at the end of day one, we're getting into kind of how to protect yourself. And he describes this in a way. It's kind of interesting. He's like, I'm not talking about this tired old advice. What does he mean when he uses that phrase, tired old advice?
That? Well, advice, he's talking about the advice that you've heard and it's been used time and time again. And it's kind of the thing that we've been relying on, but it's not really necessarily preventing these breaches.
And this advice is, of course, referring to creating those strong passwords and checking monthly account statements and those annual credit reports for unauthorized activity. Of course, we should be doing that, but we need to do more. And we have a word here that we need to discuss, that word unauthorized.
Yeah, it means you haven't been given permission to do something. If it's unauthorized access, it means you're not allowed to go into a place. Here, unauthorized activity, somebody did something with your account that you had not given permission for them to do.
Okay, so all this advice, it still applies, but tomorrow we're going to learn about some other measures that we can take. And here at the end of day one, it says, but you can do much more to catch fraud in real time and preferably prevent it. Okay, and real time means at that actual time that it occurs. And preferably just means ideally that you would be able to prevent it. So we hope that you will come back tomorrow to learn more about hopefully how to prevent these data breaches. And or you can't prevent the data breach maybe, but it prevent maybe your information from being stolen if a data breach occurs. So join us tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon.
This is Pauline.
And Zach.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.